Today's scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, and it's found on page 1591 of the New International Version in the Pew Bible. But I think I'll start at chapter verse 8, so you'll get the whole story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This ends today's scripture lesson, and may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of these words.
Amen. Thank you very much for reading the scripture. Before we begin, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, would you teach us what it means to have godly joy, to have a joy that comes from you, a joy in the Lord, opposed from a joy of the world. We pray, Lord, that you would teach our congregation to truly learn how to rejoice in you and to delight in you and to consider you greater than any earthly treasure. Father, thank you so much for gathering us here today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and our minds and everything that we are, that we may receive all that you desire to give us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I spoke several weeks ago about the importance of worship in spirit and in truth. And, you know, I know it sounds like the right thing, but at times it's not that easy. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. Is that just me or this little ringing thing? Or is it just the aliens in my brain? I don't know. I'm like, okay. All right. I think that helps a bit. Thank you. As I was speaking about, you know, worshiping in spirit and truth, you know, it sounds very admirable about worshiping with your heart and worshiping with the truth of God. And, of course, we've come into Christmas where we're talking about, you know, this is the season to be glad, holiday cheer. But what happens, you know, when you have very little to rejoice over? It's easy to know the right answer, but it's hard to practice it, isn't it? When everyone is, like, telling you to be happy and to be rejoicing. But what happens when your circumstances are not really the ones worth rejoicing over? Not everyone approaches Christmas, actually, with the sentimental feelings of joy and thanksgiving. Because, you know, for many people, Christmas can often be a painful reminder of past events, because we often tie Christmas and family matters together. And as we all know, family matters are not always happy. In fact, some churches offer a Christmas blue service for those who are grieving and mourning, to kind of realize that Christmas is not always, you know, a joyous occasion for all. And then we don't have to go very far in the news. This has been a very difficult time for many people this year, in many ways, in their families and in their homes, with the economy. How can we say that this is the great season of joy? And as we light that great candle of joy, can we truly say, like, this is the season where I am rejoicing in God? And this Advent season, when we think of Jesus Christ coming to us as our Savior, it is really the cause for great joy. But many will not rejoice. Maybe some of you have even come here today thinking that church has become a painful routine that we've learned to bear through the generations. Some of us might have come here thinking, You know, we've grown comfortable with the truths of the Bible. I've read that story of Luke chapter 2 millions of times. And we listen to it from a distance. And we've grown tired of continually thinking about how does it apply to my life. And maybe some of us have even thought, you know, the good news of God does not grab me like it used to. And there might be a lot of different reasons why. But today I want to talk about joy. And joy is sometimes difficult to talk about. Because, you know, in some churches, some people treat feelings with suspicion. Some people feel that joy is an emotional excitement that betrays some kind of spiritual immaturity. And I was just reading this week a compilation of sermons by a famous pastor, A.W. Tozer. And the compilation was Whatever Happened to Worship. And he talks about this very sentiment that creeps up in some of our churches that seems to prefer this kind of intellectual spirituality. He said, I have had people tell me very dogmatically that they will never allow feeling to have any part in their spiritual life and experience. I reply, too bad for you. I say that because I have voiced a very real definition of what I believe true worship to be. Worship is to feel in the heart. And you know, sometimes we come to church and we look at the younger people and we think, oh, you youth, you know, you're just nothing but emotions, you know, just yelling and screaming and just noise. We want to suppress that. And when we meet new believers and when they're recently converted, they're all excited for Christ. And we're thinking, well, when you get older, you'll learn that's not what Christianity is about. But here, we read, and as we read earlier in Scripture in John, God is seeking people who worship in their spirits, not just with truth, but in their spirits. Worship is to feel in the heart. And in hearing such an admonition, we may be tempted to jump to the other extreme and feel like, yeah, we have to be feeling in our hearts. And so you're going to come to Sunday today, maybe in the exact opposite feeling and thinking like, I need to come out here and be on. I need to fake this sense of happiness or force it out of obligation. Yes, my world inside is crumbling and I have a lot of pain, but I'm going to come here today because I know experience and joy and all that stuff is important. So I'll just try and be happy for you for an hour. But let me tell you, that's not what God is seeking either. Forced joy is not true joy. And it's an unhealthy practice to become talented at faking joy. You know, the world is very good at this. We dress up our department stores with this blinding light and this blinding, like this deafening music, constantly happy. But there's no substance behind it. And we dismiss it as superficial and almost obnoxious. And God is not asking you to fake your feelings today. He's not asking you to fake gratitude. For those of you who are parents, how effective has it been when you go to your child and said, you know, you're so ungrateful. You should be thankful. You should be joyful. Does the child just turn around and go like, yeah, mom, I just suddenly feel this great joy swelling up inside of me. Thank you. You know, it's usually not that effective. Youth group, have you ever felt that? You know, like, you know, we get mad at you and we're thinking like, man, you guys should be more joyful. Yeah, okay, wow, I feel joyful all of a sudden. It usually doesn't happen. Being bullied into joy is rarely effective. When we get mad at children because they're not thankful, it's not going to help to angrily yell at them and tell them to change their minds. For those who are struggling for the experience of God's joy, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad Christian or you're outwardly rebellious, because all of us go through such seasons. And you know, some of you today may be joyful, but some of you might be struggling with joy. Another famous Christian saint, Bernard of Clairvaux, he writes this to another brother who is struggling with joy. My brother, only the heart is hard that does not know it is hard. Only he is hardened who does not know he is hardened. When we are concerned for our coldness, it is because of the yearning God has put there. God has not rejected us. You know, whether we're overflowing with joy or struggling with it, it's always important to be struggling with joy. And you know, some of you might be coming joyful, or maybe in the absence of joy, you're struggling. And those are both good and honorable places to be. As long as we understand that God's ultimate heart for us is joy. You know, I get really worried, though, when you go into a congregation and everyone is just kind of comfortable with the brokenness, just kind of comfortable with that lack of joy, and just thinking this is the way it always is. How many of our Christian lives have been crippled and hindered by just kind of giving in and saying, like, this is the way it always is? And, you know, I want to say to you, whether you're struggling or whether you are, you know, happier, God's desire for you is to give you true joy. And not a joy that comes from, like, a superficial, like, glitz, a superficial glamorizing of the world. But he wants to give you joy that is deep in your heart. God is not talking about a pursuit of happiness. God is really seeking that you be a joyful person. And as we light this candle today, we want to say that Christ came into the world to bring good news, tidings of great joy. And why is God concerned with your joy? It's because joy glorifies God. It's in our joy shining out to the world around us that we trace those rays of light and we wonder, where is the source of this light coming from? Where is the source of this joy coming from? And we trace the rays of light right back to the source, which is Jesus, Jesus Christ, God himself. When people start to say, what's this racket about? Why do you have this joy in just strange circumstances? We respond by saying, we know a God that is greater than passing emotion. We know a God that does not shift and fade with temporary successes. He's not measured by worldly gain. Real joy comes from when we realize and adore who God is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Real joy is simply adoring with genuine feeling. And true joy glorifies God because it finds its source in God alone. There's a difference when we come to church and seeing God as like my eternal pick-me-up, you know, the one that will just cheer me up in my difficult circumstances. That is really not a message to the world, because in our world, we have many pick-me-ups. We have many things to cheer us up. But God comes before us today and says, like, if you find out who I am and what I do, I will show you a joy that is much greater than the things of this world. And this kind of godly joy is what God seeks to stir in us in this season. And so I'd like to go back to the passage that we were reading earlier in Luke chapter 2. And what does this passage tell us about godly joy? And I just wanted to share a couple of things. Well, three things. The first thing is that joy just doesn't happen. It needs kindling. You know, sometimes there's not a lot to be joyful for, as I said, in when we go through difficult circumstances. And as we go into this passage, what can we learn from this? We see that an angel appears before the shepherds, and we read that the glory of the Lord shone around them. But what was their first response? We read that at first, they were afraid because they didn't understand. And then the angel made it clear, this is not news to be afraid of. It's good news of great joy. Many of us are stuck and afraid of God because we don't understand his message to us. God comes before us with good news, but we don't get it. And maybe we have like a negative response to who God is. But as we kind of understand who God is and what his word is really speaking, that is the beginning of joy. When we come face to face with the teaching of who he is, the truth of who he is, we find the materials, the kindling, if you will, for great joy. And it's hard to rejoice when you have no truth to fuel your joy. When you're struggling with pain or darkness or difficult circumstances, it's when you cling to the truth of the word of God that God has an opportunity to kindle joy in your heart. And to speak a little more plainly, I was thinking about a time when I was really struggling with a difficult time. And all I could really do was just be face down in prayer, just bringing to mind God's truths. Because everything around me was shifting. I felt like my world was just, there was a lot of struggle. And what's going to get you through is you need to find those anchors, those places that will just spark hope into your life. And it was that time where I just began to remember scriptures, just speaking truth into me when I couldn't think straight. And when I let those truths sink into my heart, it began to just stir a small fire. And the heat of that fire became joy. You know, when the message, when the messenger of God, that angel of God comes to you, listen to that word, because those words will give you life and they'll give you that doorway to joy. And the second thing that we read about joy is this, is that when we're reading about the angel of the Lord and the shepherds were there, we read that they were just doing their everyday routine. And after the good news of great joy, they suddenly looked around and they saw that there was a great choir of angels behind them. And the second thing that I was thinking about joy in this passage was that godly joy gives you a new perspective. You know, sometimes when we're just like shepherds, we're just doing our everyday routine, it can seem like, how is joy going to break through in this everyday matter that I'm going through, and these everyday things? And when we get trapped in our routines, it's hard to see God's point of view. But when we hear the message, we turn around and we see, like, all the heavenly angels are here rejoicing with us. Sometimes in the most difficult times, when I'm struggling with joy, it's good to just step back and to hear God's message and to realize, you know, I don't want to just look at this from the field view. I want to step back and see the heavenly view, where there are angels rejoicing. This isn't just an ordinary situation. But God is doing a great thing here. And the last thing I wanted to say as we struggle in joy about this message is something that I guess really struck me as I was reading our passage today. Is, you know, for all the things I was saying, you know, read the word, kind of think about another perspective, God will bring you out of it. I think the real important thing to remember is that it's not out of human manufacturing that, or positive thinking, that joy will ultimately come. You know, study of the word can set the stage for kindling, but time and time again, it's God's grace. And I want to encourage people to realize that, you know, wherever you are in your journey with joy, is to always come back to that place. It's in God's grace that he comes into our lives and saves us from the darkness of our spiritual depression. You know, we live in a world that's looking for so much more than an emotional pick-me-up. We're looking for true joy, like a true reason to live. And in verse 11, in this season of Advent, we find the source and the reason. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. You know, godly joy ultimately is a gift that can only come from God. You know, I guess, you know, there's a temptation for pastors. We want to be inspirational speakers. We want to feel like, you know, our messages are so inspiring and so profound and so deep. And, you know, all these miracles will spring forth from the very words I speak from this pulpit. But the reality is, it's not true. I struggle just as much as all of you do. But the great thing is that when we call out to God, God is faithful to give us good gifts because he's a heavenly Father who cares for us. And you know, if you are struggling, to just fall upon God's grace, to ask for this great gift of joy. There are times when I've just been so mired in myself and in negativity and complaining and bitterness that I haven't really just been able to step back and just say, God, I ask for you to open the eyes of my heart God, I ask that you teach me what real joy is about in the midst of really difficult circumstances. God, teach me how to rejoice when it's not a very joyful circumstance. If we're seeking for joy, ultimately, let's turn to Christ. And Christ will not deny us because godly joy glorifies him. And we read in his word that when we ask that God be glorified, that is what God is very interested in. God is always seeking these ways to like display the greatness of his love more and more. And so if we cry out to say, like, God, display that glorifying joy in my life, God will be faithful to answer. Sometimes the seasons are long. You know, just to also kind of conclude with A.W. Tozer, he was talking about one more famous person in his sermon about joy and worship. He talked about a famous philosopher, scientist, mathematician, Blaise Pascal. And he had this amazing spiritual transformation. He basically was just wrapped up with who God was. And he wrote down on this little napkin, and he put it in his coat pocket everywhere he went. And basically, he just summed up fire. It felt like fire. And how do we get this great fire? Does it come with more inspirational speaking? Does it come with more spiritual discipline? And A.W. Tozer, he just concluded, what we really need among us is a genuine invitation of the Holy Spirit. The real gift we want to be seeking this season is not amongst what we can give, but the real gift that we're seeking this season is to be found only in what God can give. And that's the good news of who Jesus Christ is. For this season, let's all of us, myself included, ask God to give us a new heart, the heart of godly joy that radiates with his good news. There's times where I look at who God is, and you know, as a pastor, you know, every time I'm studying the word every week, preparing for the messages, but even I too need to be reminded that joy will not simply come by me being like a good, responsible Christian, but to really come before the Holy Spirit and say, God, reveal to me again the great glory of who you are, the awesomeness of who you are. You know, let's not come to our services and just be content not to struggle with joy. But let us come with this new understanding, like, I want to know this great joy, this good news. I want to see the perspective that the angels had, where they were all just rejoicing. God, reveal to me the power of this word again. And in this season, this is the real gift that God desires to give to us, a true understanding of joy.